Well, have you looked up yet tonight? Notice the new moon. It is a super moon tonight. The moon will be making its closest approach to Earth throughout the year, meaning it will appear about 14% bigger and brighter, 30%, designating it as a super moon. Sights of nature give us a gift to notice, to frame, and to sense the powerful beauty. Watch, look up. Across space, we are invited to the moon to pay attention and to wonder and ponder. Advent, as we begin this season, a profound beauty is also offered, not across space, but across time. Time when the focus of our faith is bigger and brighter. Watch, look up. And tonight's readings are a good way for us to appreciate the focus of our faith as bigger and brighter. But notice that it begins with words from Isaiah, words of sorrow and even lament. Yes, it is lament that frames the longing for Christ this Advent. Let me give you a brief sense of what's happening across time in history. See, Isaiah is written about 600 years before Christ. The Babylonians had taken the Jews out of the promised land and kept them in exile, called the Babylonian captivity, for about 60 years. When Cyrus, the Persian emperor, took over Babylon, he sent the Jews home. This reading from Isaiah is set during that troubled and stressful period when Judah was trying to put itself back together after returning from exile. And so in a sense, they were in that time of lament. To get the flavor of it, imagine in our own time, a family, how they might feel when they return to their fire-damaged home in California, or hurricane-destroyed or flood Rome in Houston or Puerto Rico. Imagine what that family is feeling now. Wouldn't you, wouldn't me, us feel some sort of lament? Lord, what happened? Why? Why, Lord, did you do this? This reading from Isaiah contains a pathetic mix of feelings, of outrage, of guilt, at God alternating with praise of God, humility, anguish, and yet hope. Notice there was that phrase, and yet, in the end of Isaiah, listing all the troubles and distresses, and then, and yet, we still believe, we still trust the powerful manifestation of God in their midst. Quote, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you." Notice how they trusted in the power of God to be present. The prophet Isaiah hoped that if God would come into their midst, the people could be faithful to him. Acknowledging the fact that the people were unfaithful, Isaiah asked for God's forgiveness and acceptance. Quote, "You, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." In other words, we're not perfect, but we are totally shaped by God's providence. Here Isaiah was not anticipating Jesus' arrival per se when he asked God to rend the heavens and come down. But isn't that what Advent invites us to believe? Isaiah was simply pleading with Yahweh to force those Israelites who had recently returned from their Babylonian exile to do what was necessary to allow God to be present and active in their lives, to move from lament and the anguish to a longing of God's presence somehow, sometime, somewhere with some person. And so Isaiah was praying to God on behalf of the Israelites, "Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways." He begged Yahweh, the Father of the chosen people, for mercy. And so the people move from lamenting to longing. And that is how the church is setting up this journey of Advent, with lament. And then we turn to the gospel, to that longing expressed by Jesus. It is that conclusion in Mark's gospel of his speech found, in which Jesus predicts the second coming. At the end of time, or at the end of the world, now we have a different type of longing. With Isaiah, there's a longing for the Messiah to be entered into history. In Mark, the Messiah has come. It's a new longing, the longing for the second coming. This, what we call the parousia. Now, the setting for the gospel is 10 years after the death of St. Paul in the late 60s. And what was happening? It's another form of a captivity that was happening, not from Babylon, but from Rome. You see, that area, Palestine, Jerusalem, and the surrounding areas, that was the breadbasket of Rome. They came and they took the fruits, the vegetables from the Fertile Crescent that we know of Lebanon in the Middle East today, a land of growing filled with milk and honey. They stole it, the Romans. They were the oppressors. And so now, in Mark's gospel, we hear that other longing, longing to be free. And so Jesus is saying, I'm talking about a different type of freedom, not just political freedom, a freedom for all eternity. They don't get it, but Mark is telling the story through Jesus' parable about the gatekeeper and the house of a traveling master. Since the master was traveling, his servant must be constantly alert. Alert for what? Signs of God's presence, signs of God caring for them in 66 AD, but for us today. What are those signs? Are you looking? Are you longing? Are you watching? That's what Jesus is inviting us to do in this Advent. Suddenly, are we going to be caught asleep, or are we surprised? Perhaps by a supermoon, perhaps by a gesture, perhaps by an inspiring poet or a song. Watch, pay attention. This is the journey that the church is stirring up in Advent. And so we are invited to move from that time of lament into a movement of looking and longing. The need for our Christian alertness, my brothers and sisters, is illustrated by the Jesus who invites us to pay attention to what is around us in nature, but our own nature within us, to that sense of how are we within our hearts, if you will, decorating not just externally the trees that we're buying, how are we decorating the souls that God has bought at a price? And so we begin. We begin in our journey. The work to be completed is how God is inviting us to journey together this Advent. It's a preparation that is a fourfold coming of Jesus into our lives. Namely, at the celebration of the first incarnation, we call Christmas, in God's active presence in our lives. The third, the moment of our death. And the fourth, the final coming. And so I invite you to, as we begin this great, profound time of history, in our own time and all the time of the Jewish peoples, to long despite the times of stress in our world, of lamenting, to be like Isaiah, to move it from the stress to the creative urges of longing for a God to be revealed in our time and in our lives. It is indeed a great season. It is indeed a super season of God's presence, of focus, of brightness, and belonging to a loving God.